Roundtable.
Hello and very warm welcome to Radio Mrayo Roundtable. I'm Yach Grand. We are very much sorry for the time that you have been listening. You have been listening to nobody on here. Today we are looking at on a topic, managing internal borders of the 10 states and 3 administrative areas in South Sudan. Upon signing of the RRCs on the 12th September, the party successfully transitioned to transitional period with key benchmarks that remains unaccomplished. But then the Trigunu formation was stalled over the number of states and boundaries until when the revert to 10 states and 3 administrative areas was met through presidential decree. The resolution of the number of states that the Independent Boundary Commission failed to resolve has made it possible for the Trigunu to be formed on 22nd February 2020 and subsequent state government 6 months later. However, the formation of Trigunu has not yet resolved the internal boundaries of the 10 state and 3 administrative areas. In Upper Nile State, the city of Malakal is contested by the communities over the seats of municipality and county. In Ruweng administrative area, the long-standing contested area of Unity Oil Field, and in northern Baril Kazal State, the plan to annex the areas of Awil West, Awil East, and Awil Center counties has become a public concern and looming fears of conflict in the most peaceful states of South Sudan. In the studio with us, we are joined by Honorable Dr. Aldo John Deng Akwey, a member of Council of State, a former Deputy Prime Minister of Sudan, a statesman and elder. Honorable Dr. Joe, you are welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much.
We shall also be joined by Okech Parug, a member of South Sudan Law Society, online. Then we are joined in the studio by Dr. Santino Yuelungar, Assistant Professor of Law at the University of Juba and a Research Associate with Sud Institute. Welcome, Dr. Santino. In the studio too, we are joined by Dr. James Okuk, a political analyst and with the Center of Policy and Strategic Studies. Welcome, Dr. Okuk.
Thank you, Yajgra.
Thank you all gentlemen for joining us in the studio, and sorry for our listeners for the time that you spend listening to nobody. This is a question to all of you, our guests in the studio. Although the Technical Boundary Committee submitted its report, the committee failed to achieve its mandate as per the RRCs. But then the parties resolved the question of number of states as per the IBC recommendation. However, the question of tribal boundaries remain unresolved. So, Dr. Okuk, what is the status of the problem that TBC and IBC were tasked with?
Yeah, thank you, Yaj, and you are bringing up a very important topic, and it's good that you are taking us back to the IBC and TBC. Of course, you know, land has been an issue from the time we were still under Sudan, and that's why, you know, during the negotiation of the CPA, the SPLM decided, contrary to what the government in Sudan wanted or has been practicing, that the land belonged to the government, and the government has all the rights to do whatever they want about the land. We know from the history of Sudan that that principle was problematic because it was abused by some of the politicians and businessmen in Sudan. So that's why the SPLM came up with a contrary principle, that the land belonged to the communities. And it is the communities who have to be consulted if at all there is anything or any investment to be done on the land. So that principle found its way into the clause of the clauses of the CPA, and then it was incorporated into the constitution of the interim constitution of Southern Sudan by then in 2005, and it became the basis of how land is managed. And you know, after we went even into conflict after during our independence, and we had the transitional constitution, the same principle was put there. But then, you know, conflict erupted. And during the negotiation, the issue of the land again
came up.
And it proved to be also contentious. We thought that it was Jilaba who were a problem, but we found out that even South Sudanese themselves are a big problem when it comes to the issue of the land. So the negotiation almost is stalled because of the problem of boundaries of the communities. So that's why they said, okay, let's find a better way of resolving this conflict. Let's put together experts who are not South Sudanese, but who might know something about South Sudan, particularly from the Troika countries and also from the IGAD. Let them go and have a fact-finding mission, and then come up with a recommendation how best they can resolve the issues of communities' boundaries, tribal boundaries, and that's why we had the technical boundary committee, which is called TBC. I think they did their work within 60 days, and they presented their recommendation to the IGAD Secretary General. And that was all. There was nothing. The recommendation was that the government of South Sudan should abide by the boundaries of 1956, when Sudan got independent. That was the only. The report was taken over by the Independent Boundaries Commission. The Independent Boundary Commission is it has South Sudanese in it. It had 15 members. So 10 were South Sudanese representing the parties, and then the 5 were from the African Union, what we call C5. So they also build up on the recommendation of the TBC.
Okay.
And then they were given 90 days to come up with just a specific recommendation on what is the best number of a state on which the revitalized government can be formed. Okay, what are the boundaries of those states? So they went, I think they did their homework. They traveled across the country to some areas. They received some submission, and they came up with their report within 90 days. Gave it to the IGAD Secretary General again, and also the IGAD gave it to the government. And that's where they recommended that the country should go back to 10 states. And then the same recommendation of TBC, that the tribal boundaries, the communal boundaries, should be kept as they were on the 1st of January 1956.
Yeah, before I go to Dr. Aldo Joe, how were they after 1956, January 1956? Hello, Dr. Okuk.
Yes.
What was the status then because of the tribal boundaries at that time?
It was the British who drew those boundaries.
Were there clear boundaries, tribal boundaries, between communities in South Sudan before independence of January 1956?
Yeah, there were, because we had districts, and then we had provinces, and then I think the colonial administration, they had their administrative boundaries.
Oh, okay.
And also we had natural marks that were known also to be borders between the communities. So there were, and there have been also some maps regarding those boundaries. But the problem is that what they left, you know, did not stay as it is, because the things evolve, actually. Some of the counties, for example, the TBC and the IBC had to operate based on 29 counties. 79 counties of the 10 states.
Okay.
So those 79 counties, if you cross-check them with what the British left after the independence of Sudan in 1956, there were some you know, alteration, there were some additions.
I will come back to you.
And all this. So that's why I came to know the TBC, because I interacted with some of them. They found it very difficult that they cannot do the work, that work within 60 days that is given to them to demarcate the borders of the tribal communities. So that's why they just went to what was there already, whether it is verifiable on the ground or not, it didn't bother them. The same thing with the TBC.
I will come back to you, Dr. Okuk. Let me go to Dr. Aldo Joe. Dr. Joe, what is the status of these tribal boundaries? The issue of number of states is resolved by the parties and as per the recommendation of IBC. But the problem of tribal boundaries that was supposed to have been done by TBC has not been been accomplished. So what is the status? Are the same area that were contested still contestable as we talk now?
Thank you very much. I think there is some political complications to these borders. In the first place, we had never had conflict of borders between tribes. Even the tribal fights that might have taken place during British, or after the British left, or during the self-government in South Sudan from 1972 to 1983, all that has never came up. Also, in demarcation of 10 states, which was done by Khartoum, none was raised about borders. 10 states were under Khartoum. Then, after independence of South Sudan, the 10 states, there were no complaints left or right about the tribal borders. The boundaries that actually came up might have been the creation of counties. The creation of counties, I think, has brought some complications. Not really states.
Okay.
Because after 10 states was adopted by government of South Sudan 2011, or before that 2005, there was nothing at all. But the mushroom of counties that was created, some politicians wanted to create all the counties, even villages of their own. And that actually brought the most complications of this.
Oh, okay.
I think the best suggestion is for us to revisit the past creation of British. We had three states, that was three provinces of South Sudan, which we identified with. That is to get Upper Nile, Equatoria, and Barkizal, and then go down to the districts that were left when the British left. They left these districts and our regions tied to 1956, and then let us see what actually followed, what brought up these complications. Some of our nationalities, for example, the Chuluk, the Anuak, the Zande, these were governments before 1899, and I think we can easily settle these disputes. But maybe people who are actually appointed to committees the way our people behave, might have been applying accommodations of certain individuals to have positions and then investigate something they don't know. And this is our problem.
Okay. Well, I will come back to you, Dr. Santino. In addition to what Dr. Okuga and Dr. Aldo Joe said, I would want you to address this question together with what you think you should add to this. What is the background to the current communal dispute, especially in Ruweng administrative area? If you can give us a background for the sake of our listeners, in addition to what you would think did not happen under IBC and TBC.
Thank you, James, for another opportunity. Land is a very important commodity to all human beings. We are born on land, we build our homes on land, and even when we die, we are buried under land. You know, there are a few exceptions to those just general principles, but land is just as important as our own life. And that's why land is an emotive issue. Let me underscore the fact that the issue of boundaries is as old. The issue of boundaries is as old as our own administration itself. First, let me say this. There are two types of boundaries. There are de facto boundaries, and there are de jure boundaries. De facto boundaries are boundaries that are associated with the historical ownership of a particular community. Like wherever, before the coming of British, every community had its own piece of land. It inhabited, it kept cattle, it farmed there. And every community knew the limits of their own boundaries.
Yeah.
Those are historical boundaries or de facto boundaries. Then there are de jure boundaries. De jure boundaries, those are the boundaries that were created by the British.
Yeah.
And you remember when the British came and other colonial powers came to Africa, they partitioned Africa into several countries and even divided tribes into
different countries. Yeah.
And that was an issue when Africa got independence, and this issue was emotive, and so Union of African Unity, Organization of African Unity, resolved that if we go back to those traditional boundaries, it would cause big issue, it would cause conflict, and so let us stick to colonial boundaries.
Yeah.
And that's why they said that colonial boundaries are sacrosanct, they are inviolable.
Okay.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
And so the British in the Sudan, in South Sudan, when they came, know that there have been a lot of talks that the British left administrative boundaries. That's not true. If you look, you can find this in the Library of Congress. You can find it in Durham University. You can find it online British library. You can see this, that the boundaries that the British left were tribal boundaries. Every ethnic community has been demarcated. They did not leave administrative boundaries. They left district, of course, but each community fell under a particular district. So by virtue of each ethnic group falling under a particular district, the district boundaries were self-evident.
Mm.
But there is no such thing as administrative boundaries that the British left. And that's what the issue is, because one of the issues that IO has kept on talking when this issue came up was that we do not know the ethnic boundaries. We know the administrative boundaries, 21 districts, which was not true. You can never find a map showing 21 districts or 23 districts, as some people would call, but you'll find a map showing ethnic boundaries. And so if we know where the ethnic boundaries are, we can create a administrative unit based on what we want, and each community knows where its limits or borders are. And so the issue, as Dr. Aldo said earlier, what complicates the question of borders is politics, bad politics. And so the government has failed to create an institution to settle this issue, because we can go to court and give evidence. These are the boundaries. This is where they stand. But the system, people keep on talking without providing practical solutions. And I think that's where the government needs to do something, by creating an institution that would be charged with the responsibility of demarcating those borders. And if there are disputes, we create tribunals to settle those. If we cannot do that internally, we can also resort to arbitration, external.
Excellent.
Exactly.
Oh, and now, based on that explanation, Can you give a little bit background to as to what are these areas that are contested in a ruling administrative areas, whether be they administrative or tribal boundaries?
Okay.
Before I come to Oku.
Thank you for that question. I think you asked earlier on. Mm. Ruling administrative area, as it is an old sub-district. You know, in 1905, when the British came, Ruweng was part of Barel Ghazal. It was part of Toin District. That time, Gogrial wasn't a district yet.
Yeah.
So in 1905, Ruweng, Twitch, and Abia were taken to Kordofan. Not Kordofan, Nuba Mountains Province. Mm. Nuba Mountain Province existed until 1913. When Kordofan, Nuba Mountain Province was abolished, and the Kordofan district was created. So the three communities became part of Kordofan. In 1927, there were issues, and so the Twitch and Ruweng were returned to southern Sudan. They became part of Toin district, and then because of lack of transport between Ruweng and Toin, Ruweng was temporarily taken to Pangak. Mm. So that time Bentiu wasn't a district until 1931. So when Bentiu was created as a district in 1931, Ruweng was temporarily placed under Bentiu. And then one thing led to another. Independence came. The issue of Ruweng status as to where it would belong wasn't resolved. So for every transfer, whether to Nuba Mountain Province, whether to Kordofan Province, or whether to Toin or to Pangak or to Bentiu, Ruweng was transferred administratively, and its boundaries are described by every instrument of transfer. There is no question about where the borders of Ruweng stand. So what complicates the question of Ruweng is politics, and it is because the Ruweng has no voice in the government. And the other people who are claiming the land of Ruweng are people who have the military instrument, and they have political office with which they can articulate their position.
What are these areas that are being contested?
Unity oil fields, mm-hmm. right? Rupkona, the part of Unity State, claims that it is their area. And there is one other thing that I could add. You know, before 1983, our communities used to repair roads manually, right? Mm. Using hands. Mm. And so Ruweng would repair the road all the way up to the southern part of Unity oil fields.
Yeah.
And that was de facto boundaries. The communities knew where their borders are. And so right now, Unity State claims that Unity oil fields is part of its area, but traditionally they even knew the borders were demarcated by the river Barel Ghazal, where Rupkona, where it is used to be called Yonnyang in Dinka, the Nuer would call it Yonnyang, but that's where was the border. That was the area that was contested then. Since then, the contest has moved further north, because of the power the other people have. Mm. And then there is this Manga area. Mm. Manga area is traditionally area of Ruweng. But what happened when Taban was the governor, he decided to say, I want to go and farm in that particular area. So he asked the then commissioner, Mbeng Lang, to allow him to stay there. And so Mbeng decided to ask the community to allow Taban to stay there. So the elders went there, they blessed his stay. So after he was given that permission to stay there, he decided to resettle his community from the other side of the river and rename the area. And then he surrounded himself with the tanks and then began to terrorize the local community and claim that this area. And then he named it Dwaljang, right? That's what he meant. And so the fact that he still has military staying there has nothing to do with the land being his. He's just taking it by force.
Okay, Charles, we shall come back
Thank
to you. Dr. Oku, can you give us about a little bit of background as to what is happening in Malakal, especially with regard to municipality and the county?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, what Santino is describing is almost what's happening in Malakal also.
Yeah.
Some people in power, they want to just create a status quo which force others, you know, to comply when it is known in the past that there are clear clear boundary. So it's not very far from what Santino is describing, what's happening in
Marrakesh. Some few days ago,
yes.
There were released on social media about the county being relocated somewhere to Wau Chuluk, and then the municipality to remain in and things are not very clear. For the sake of our listeners, if you can clarify that.
Yeah, because, you know, some people will just sit down and then decide on very, very, you know, substantial national issue without even any legal basis. This is the problem. So, you know, as Uncle Aldo Ajo said the provinces, the three provinces of South Sudan, as they were left by the British, are very clear with their districts. And Upper Nile province had 10 districts, and Malakal town, actually, was in the list of the 10 districts of 1931. That's what it is, and that's what they left. And all along, as Santino has described, the communities that surround Malakal, these are the villages of the Chuluk. And even when they pave roads like what he has described, they know where they end, and then the Dinka will also pick up from there and then. So there was no conflict, as Uncle Ajoa said. The conflict over Malakal started in 2009 during the celebration of the anniversary of CPA, because you know, they were rotating.
There was a rotation, yes.
So this is where the claim over Malakal, because we know that Malakal is a homogeneous town, actually, with title deeds. You have your plot, you have your, and then that's all, and it is inhabited by different
nationalities,
including those who came even from Baragazal, from where they are there. Even the first commissioner of Malakal County in 2005, appointed by President Salva Kiir, was a Dinka from Baragazal. He's called Said Aoud Murjan. But he is a Malakia. We call them Malakiin inside Malakal.
Yeah.
So they are not regarded as strangers.
Foreigners,
they are part of Malakal. But then the villages surrounding Malakal are the Chuluk villages. There is no any Dinka village which is nearer to Malakal. That's a fact that we should know. So in 2009, when the procession at the stadium started, the culture used to be that, you know, you have the army, the organized forces, then you come to the communities of the state. In the community of the state, the Chuluk take the front line of the procession, followed by the Dinka, then followed by the Nuer. And it goes, followed even by the Zandi, and you have even the Moro who were in Malakal. All of them were joining. This is how it was.
Mm.
By that time, I think the Apadang said they must be at the front. And that created a conflict. And before that, days before that, a student from Upper Nile University, from where they were releasing incitement statement, that blood will flow in Malakal if the ownership of Malakal is not given to them and whatever. So that's where the problem started, from nowhere.
The question of municipality and the county here is what we want to know, really.
Yes, so this is what I'm coming. I'm giving you the background.
Mm.
So this problem continued after election in 2010. That's where Governor Koen Poit came up with something called municipality and a mayor. It was not there in Malakal. It was the commissioner who was responsible. It's starting from that Dinka commissioner, who is called Said Aoud Murjan Malakia.
Mm.
He was the one responsible for Malakal, and there was no any question. Then when a Chuluk took over for him, this is where they say they don't want. And later then, the Koen Poit, who was a governor, came up with the idea of the mayor. But then the Malakal was just made a municipality with a mayor, but coexisting with
the county.
With the county. There was no any problem. And then they continued until 2013 war broke out and people ran away from Malakala and the town was destroyed. It was in 2017 with the current deputy governor who was appointed as the governor of Central Upper Nile when the 28 state was
created.
Added to 32. So he became the first governor of Central. That's where he came to the Council of State where those of Aldo Ajo were. Then he presented a petition.
And he's still there.
You are still there. That's where he's, he gave a petition, okay, that he wanted the name of Makal County to be changed to Ogot County. And then he wanted the headquarter of that Ogot County to be in Waushuluk on the west bank of the Nile. Those of Aldo Ajo and the team, they said in an extraordinary meeting number 8, 2017, and they endorsed what the governor wanted. And they came up with a resolution signed by the Speaker Bolchan. So that resolution was there, but nobody implemented it. The governor was relieved later, and then another governor who came did not care about that. What he did. So the whole thing died down. It's only now after the formation of the state government based on the revitalized peace agreement. This is where some Apadang intellectual came up with the same deputy governor who is there now behind them, writing to Honorable Tutkeo that they want the implementation of that resolution. So they went to Dr. Yang Mishia called Elia Lomuro, who is the Minister of Cabinet Affairs. Then he called the governor and his deputy. Then they sat down in the office of Victoria. They sat down as individual actually trying to mediate this problem, because all the commissioners were unknown except the commissioner of Makar. And the reason it was not announced because of the petition to Tutkeo that it should not be announced until they resolve the problem of the name and the relocation as in the resolution of the Council of State. So what happened after that? They look at the petition, but they said, let's come up with a compromise. The compromise is the name of Makal County remain as Makal County. It should not be changed to Ogot. So they did not abide by the resolution by changing that. The second part of it is the capital or the headquarter of Makal County should be relocated to Wau as it was in the resolution. That's it. And this is where now the protest
is
came up again, and they say, why are you taking Malakal and changing the whole thing when we have gone back to the 10 state with the 7 counties that are known, with the 79 counties.
Thank you.
That we know. And those 79 counties, they are there with clear boundaries, with the clear headquarter. The headquarter of Makal County is Malakal in that establishment. Even it is in the constitution of Upper Nile.
Thank you, Dr.
So this is where the problem is started, and this is where we are now, and it is boiling. We don't know where it will end.
Okay, yeah. Dr. Aldo Ajo, can you give the same background as to what is happening in Northern Barakzal? On social media, the netizens are outpouring their cries as to move taken by local government, by state government there to annex some areas of Awil West, Awil East, and Awil Center to what they would want to be a municipality. What is the background to all this for our listeners?
Before I go there, I think there is something about the road Five ways. That is very significant. Because it was actually something to do with every year a pair of roads, and it get the boundary which can be traced now. So that one is, we have to contain that one. The other thing is a specialized body that can check into this, into all borders, and also try to get the maps correct, because the old maps, really, as they have said, were actually maps showing the nationalities and tribes, which were done by Britain. These two, I want to agree with that seriously. The question of what is happening in Awil now is some kind of... I think the governor wants to create a town, something that may actually carve out and then single it, something that will look like Washington, which does not exist. Because Awil town is actually the areas that are actually chieftaincies are one chieftaincy of Madin Awil, and then the other chieftaincy is the Luo chieftaincy, which is Nyanlath. These areas are part of the town now where the survey has been made and people are living there. Many people, including those from Darfur and everybody.
Yes.
Actually, like Malakal. And there are no problems there. The thing is that the town mayor is the caretaker of the town, say in Juba. The mayor in Juba actually extends into an area, you see, without prejudice to the responsibility of county. The Payams are actually under county, they are not under
mayor.
Mayor. Mayor has no areas like counties and other villages and so on. It is a county.
So where is the problem in Awil?
The problem in Awil is that the governor wants to create a town called Awil and annex other areas to this. It cannot be. The expansion will be actually natural. The town will grow. And when it grows, it is followed by mayor. But now, as we speak, Awil town is under Arroyo. See? Arroyo is the capital. It is not Awil which is the capital of the county.
And the
county. This county was created by the SPLM in 2003. And that was a request from Luo to create this county. And that is why Awil and is under Arroyo. To do this, you have to have a law. If you want to make Awil a county alone, you get to the process of making a law. You cannot by word of mouth and directives create an entity which is administrative, like Awil town. Awil town, any town, mayor has no boundary. It is the town, whatever expansion, the follow. What is the reality is that Awil is a city. Arroyo also is a city, can have a mayor. And the same thing with the rest of the counties. We have only five, you know. Nyumlal is a town. Wanjuk is a town. Gongmacha is a town. Five towns, including Awil. Six for Awil. So, the crises are being created by the administration.
What will happen?
It is not the people.
What will happen to these areas that originally belong to the counties that you mentioned, like Arroyo, like Awil West and Awil East and Awil South? These areas, what will happen to them now that this move is being done?
Now it's not any longer annexing the other Payams from another county. Ariak, you see, as the boundary with Awil town. It is a part of Wanjok, far away. It is a county of a Biam, very big. And so on, Malwal and the rest, Awil South, except the Luo.
Nyanlath
is a part of Awil. Luo, of course, of Barmayan, Ungweja Jongo, actually decided to come back to Arroyo and that was a part of Malengalel.
Okay.
Originally.
Okay.
Now,
yeah.
We have no problem equal to Malakal or to Ruweng. This one is now newly being created. It has not been there. You see? If you talk about Luo and Denka, they have been living here. And here is a will. Comfortably, harmoniously, they have never had a problem. The problem now is being created now.
Ships of a will center were arrested. And can you give a background as to why they were arrested?
They were arrested because the mayor of a will town transferred their official to Payam. That is Mapera Kuraru Payam. And the chief objected that we are not under Payam. We are not under the mayor.
Mm.
We are not under the city. We are under the county in Arroyo. But here, we are in the town also, which duplicates the responsibility.
Mm.
If the mayor would want to see the road and see the things that concerned health and all this, and then the small market where they can also, that is allowed. But they rejected the people being transferred to replace the administrators under the county. And that's why they say the county.
So what brought arrest?
Of course, the administrator went and complained that he has been beaten. And of course, sensitively, the state went in to also to support the fact that I was beaten and all this, and then collected the chiefs to
the prison.
Creating a big problem. It is a big problem.
Oh, okay, I will come back to you, Dr. Joe. Santino,
uh-huh.
Listening to Cook and Uncle Joe, a question of municipality and county coexisting together.
Mm.
We have a law, as a legal scholar on in this panel, we have a law, Local Government Act 2009, if you correct me later. What does law prescribe as to how would county and municipality exist, and to what limit does municipality extend? Because municipality cannot extend indefinitely. It has to be having boundaries or some kilometers away from the city, center of the town.
Thank you once again. I'm not familiar with the particular provisions in the Local Government Act that deals with how these entities can coexist together. Maybe Dr. Aldo can pitch in to, if you can provide an answer to that.
Yeah. Now,
the local government we know is actually under county.
Okay.
And the county has got a council. Councillors are elected. The same thing goes down to Payam. They have a small circle of their council to settle it. But this mayor in the town is not actually prescribed as that.
It is not even in the local government.
It is not even mentioned.
Yeah.
It is not even mentioned.
So where is it coming
now,
from?
Now you can see the local government, these people who are wearing streams.
Yeah, their uniform.
You have seen them in Juba moving around.
Yeah.
You see, supervising the waste that is being deposited to some places, and also the internal road, and what they can do to collect money and all that, and cleaning of the town. Those who are moving there are distinctively administrators. No politician there. But that is different from a county, because county is actually headed by a politician or whatever. We should have been, of course, professionals in this case, because
adding to that, yes.
Take that, this caretaker of the town is called mayor. In London, the mayor is elected. But the mayor of London has no power over councils. London councils or Scotland or wherever it is. Their assignment is actually to deal with this, you see, like of the town, to look after the town, and that is the creation of administration. But I don't know definitely whether the local government law has prescribed any powers beside the powers of a county.
Okay, we'll cook in 2 minutes, yes?
Yeah, the local act does not provide anything called mayorship. It talks of exactly what you describe is what is in the local government. And then it evolved from the what Dr. Garang came up during the SPLM time for the civil what they call CANs. Civil authority of the new Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
That's where actually there was no idea of even counties. It was from there that it developed. Sudan did not have anything called county.
Yeah.
So it is Dr. Garang and then the SPLM team who came up with this categorization of the local government,
right,
where you have the county, you have the Payam, and you have the Boma. These are the unit. There is nothing called mayor in all this. It is the local government act was developed in that model. So the mayorship was just a creation of the governors who just came later. And even the one in Juba was created. If you look at the local government, there is nothing of that of that kind. So it is a confusion that need to be resolved, so that it is not creating problem.
Dr. Okuk, I have this problem here. Maybe our listeners would have this problem too. What is the extent to which the municipality should go? Well, in terms of kilometers or miles, if you can say.
Even using the word municipality,
yes.
South Sudanese just pick words and then they paste them. You know, this is a problem by itself without any study. Municipality is not an easy thing that you can just... Ask Uncle Lajo, who has been in London, what a municipality looks like.
Yeah.
You know, go to most developed countries and see what a municipality look like and compare them to what we call municipality here. Some villages, even they want to call themselves municipalities. This is terribly outside the known models and the known best practice of what a municipality is. A municipality should be, you know, an order which emerged from advancement of a city.
Yeah.
You know, a city advances and then the services of the city, they became so immense that actually they need professional to handle those service provision. Actually in garbage collection, as you said, professional in
water,
in water, professional in all this. Then that's what makes, you know,
the municipality.
But what we have now in South Sudan is totally off the model of what we know as a municipality.
Thank you very much, gentlemen in the studio. We are going for a break, and for our listeners, you can call us on 091206-2950 or 091206-2079, or on MTN, you can call us on 092190-2950 or 092190-2079. You have been listening to Radio Maria Roundtable with me, Yaj Grang. In the studio, we are joined by Dr. Aldo Ojo. We have Dr. Santino Ayuelungar and Dr. James Ukuk. And we are looking at managing internal borders of the 10 states and 3 administrative areas in South Sudan.
101 FM Radio Miraya, powered by the people. Uniting the nation. The Round Table.
Welcome to the second hour of Roundtable. I'm Yaj Grang. We are looking at the managing internal borders of the 10 states and 3 administrative areas in South Sudan. And in the studio, we are joined by Eldo Ajo, Deng Akwe, Dr. Santina Yuelungar, and Dr. James Okuk. You can call us on the numbers 0912062950 or 0921902956. Let's come back to where we stopped. Dr. Eldo Ajo, before I come to Santino, what does agreement say with regard to all this what is happening in Malakal and in Awil with regard to creating township or municipality versus the county? And if at all any authority, be they parties to the agreement or a governor in the state or a commissioner in the county, as powers of creating additional administrative area during this transitional period. What does agreement say about that?
Well, the agreement, as we speak, has only come back to 10 states instead of 32, which had actually more complications. But it has not addressed the creation of counties, where problems are actually come in. What is important is that the return of 10 states did not change any border. It did not talk about any border. It returned the status quo of 10 states with the borders that were created by Khartoum and adopted by the government of South Sudan as from 2005 up to date. So the counties might have increased. You know, only 2 counties were added by SPLM, but 3 were created by Khartoum. Those 2 counties is, one is Arroyo, which is a county where Awil is under, and the other one is Malengalel, which of course has taken away the Luo to the site of Awil. And then I agree with what Dr. James Okuga said, that both of them have said that the county mayor hangs around without legal backing. And this should actually be referred to the government and been the Council of State to review the Local Government Act, whether this one could actually be a loan and under which boundary, or under the county or by itself. How can it work when something has no boundary, has no entity, has nowhere it stops? So it is that one which is important. But importantly, the internal boundaries of South Sudan should actually be reviewed under a specialized body, people who know the thing, lawyers and geographers. In geography, even international law, those who did international law, they have to go geography by learning, by seeing the borders, what relate to one another.
Right.
And that is what we actually in this demand.
As a politician, a member of parliament in Council of State, what do you advise your constituency to adopt?
Now, for us, we would raise it. We raise it in the Council of State and bring the Local Government Act to see the relationship between a county mayor, a county commissioner, and a city mayor, which is, and you know, Other areas which are called cities now, you know, will have villages, as you have seen. they have not even seen the survey of the land. It's just like that, and they won't talk of dead people.
Okay, Dr. Santino, as a legal expert, although you earlier on said that you do not have enough knowledge as to what the law says, especially the local government act says, what would you advise the state governments and the communities that are under threat of conflict because of these boundaries to adopt at this particular time or transitional period?
Here is the thing, the agreement, the revitalized peace agreement, talks about transitioning South Sudan from where it is to a federal system.
Yeah,
that is the vision. It the agreement seems to, you know, to take very seriously, and the parties to the agreement sign on to this. So there are several other things that will be implicated if a federal system is adopted. But on which, in which context? What kind of federal system do we want to adopt? How many states? Those are the questions that will be resolved. So once the federal system has been adopted and each state has been given particular powers to determine where the bound, whether they have the capacity to determine the number of counties on their own, or they have to refer to the Council of State to bless whatever decision they have reached, that's something else. But at the moment, the question of boundaries, let me say this, there are 79 counties that we say are official counties, and those counties do not have official borders. The borders that we have now were created by the office of Riek Machar when he was a vice president, and he drew the boundaries without consulting communities. And so even the international community uses these boundaries as if they are official. We actually use these boundaries as if they are official, but consultation, if boundaries are to be drawn for all these counties or more counties, it has to be done through wider consultation. So the boundaries that we see floating around are not official. And they have some, you know, let me say not more on this, but I think that is the communities that are struggling over borders should know that boundaries have not been drawn yet. Until the Council of States or any instrument created by the government really sits down to resolve the question of border, using the 1956 border, the one that you see here are not consistent with 1956. Right. So that's something that, you know, so the communities, even where I come from, we always know that these are not official boundaries, but they are being pushed. And I have seen some foreign scholars writing about boundaries, like Berger or what her name was, writing about WOW and the many things that she said, you know, as if whatever she saw, whatever she reads, and, you know, the kind of political feeding that she gets, there is propaganda mixed with politics and so many things that has brought so much confusion. So the government should move very quickly to determine the issue of borders once and for all.
Thank you. Dr. Okuk, there is a question here from Galwag State. I'm Galwag Mokwe from Jungle State. Jungle State has a close and disputed border with the Greater Pibora Administrative Area. That is why we always have internal conflict days and night. So how should these neighbors, namely Lor Nuer, Dinkabor, and Murle, live in peace?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before I come to that, let me just look at why problem with those borders. Why politicians are creating this problem on individual basis without any legal legitimacy of what they are doing. It's simply because of, you know, greed to get rich very quick, because they think that when you have a municipality with a mayor, you can collect as much taxes as you can, and then you make yourself rich and go and build your house, send to your children and whatever. That's right. It. The other one is what I call oil curse and madness, especially in Upper Nile. Some people think because there is oil there, and then the 2% and then the 3%. Mm. So everybody want to grab this also. So it's creating a madness with the people. And that madness is what is leading us to this unnecessary quarrel. And everything is nyanya. What Juba Arabi will say, kalam nyanya. This is the big problem.
Kalamake.
So
some of them would want to create constituencies.
Yeah, exactly. so you know, the problem in Jungle, even the problem in Upper Nile,
and
even Equatoria, it gets back to problem of migration. If we have to go to the history of migration, who was there first and who came next, and whatever. These histories are very important. If you go to Jungle, who were in those places first, and who migrated next, and who migrated next to the next, that's where you can determine and say, okay, who encroached to whose place and who whatever. So the problem of Nuer and Morle, the Nuer in Jungle, they migrated through there. And they... This is a known fact. Okay. They took the home of Anyuaks, they took some part of the Murle. Of the Murle and also
Dinka.
Some part of the Dinka.
And the name itself, Akobo.
Yeah. It's the same. Land. So
it's a lower land.
Yeah. If you look Murle and Jungle actually, and even you get, is it the Kachipo?
Yes.
And the Jia. Yeah. They are the original people of the place, but because of marginalization, they like to be on their mountain. They didn't interact with the rest. The rest migrated actually to those places, and then they think it's a no man land, so they can go and grab as they want. So this need to be a law as what we have described, so that this land grabbing from migrants should be addressed. This is the only way we can, so that nobody just pop in and claim, oh, this is my place.
Can people, I add something?
Yeah, just in 1 minute.
So because you refer to the conflict in Jongle as if it is related to the creation of Bipora Demonstrative Area, I think the conflict goes back to 70s, even 60s. Murule has been attacking these communities and grabbing their children for whatever reason. And so over time, this conflict transformed itself into bigger than what it was. The original Murule used to just hunt for children, and that was it. And then of recent, especially during the liberation struggle, they were armed by the Khartoum government to do much more damage. And so conflict evolved into much bigger thing than it was originally. So it has nothing to do with the creation of Pibora Demonstrative Area.
Okay, let's go to another question on social media. We have Deng Mangok Aywil. This is a question regarding Northern Bargazal, and it goes to Honorable Joe. The governor of Northern Bargazal State, Will, has annexed or carved Mariam West and East Payams to Will Town Municipality. When the two Payams are part of a Will West County, Nyumlel is the Will West County that is based in Nyumlel. Headquarters is in Nyumlel. The question is the governor constitutionally mandated to create new counties and local boundaries? First question. Second question, does RRCS give power and mandate to the governor to create new counties or areas?
Well, by terms of constitution, there is no a politician, whether in executive or outside, that can create boundaries and towns and or villages. It is subjected to legislation by making a law. If you want to actually have an entity that can be governed by terms of county, whatever it is, but in the mouth of word or orders in writing, it doesn't work. So, with the governor of Awil, all things he's saying are actually exciting, and they are creating a problem for people to quarrel. This man, if he is careful about security, he should tend to consult with his own people and security, He has to, his administration is based on regulations, rule, and law of governance. If he is going to have a parliament very soon, that is state assembly, and the assembly here, we hope, is coming up. And this is the procedure where you make the law through until it is signed by the president to become law of the land. He's not doing this. He's telling people do that and do that, and all is igniting the quarrel. This thing in Mapere was wrong. To say this area is to be controlled by mayor, and that is by the word of mouth. So there is nothing legal about what the governor is doing in the will.
If there is nothing legal, as you said, what do you advise the state governor and the communities as an elder from the same area to do in order to avoid any conflict?
What I want to tell the community is this. The community has to depend on complaining. They have to come together and get to complain directly. It should actually be directly to the president, because this man was appointed by the president. He was not elected
How do you expect them to accept the president? And they should accept the president through the governor.
No, they have to actually get their right. The governor is actually infringing on their right, and therefore they should seek another way around.
So, on the same line, Dr. Okuga, I see you want to say something. On the same line, the commissioner of Will West, some time back last month, came into loggerhead with the governor, and it was on the same issue of borders. And how has it been resolved?
At the end, the commissioner was right. The commissioner actually decided that he reached his own border, and people brought a bull there to slaughter for him to skip.
As tradition would.
Yes, and he stood his ground, and people actually made him pass and open his flag as a part of his county, and that one went through.
Has it been resolved?
They attempted to stop him, but the people encroached. People protected him.
Dr. Okuga, I see you want to add something to what I
said. Yeah, just to come back to whether agreement, the revitalized agreement, provide for all those confusion that these governors are creating. The revitalized agreement is to be incorporated into the constitution.
Yeah.
And then, based on this constitution, other legislation have to be also adopted and amended, including the local government. This is the legal procedures that should happen. Now, 2 years have gone since the peace agreement has been signed. Actually, 3 years is elapsing. The only thing we have done is to incorporate the peace agreement into the transitional constitution.
Yeah.
After that, the parties got stuck. They cannot even reconstitute the National Legislative Assembly, which would have taken care of
these
legislation.
Issues.
Up to now, there is nothing. The parliament that we have does not match with the reality of the revitalized agreement.
It's invalid.
Is a parliament of a whole order, and we are in a new order.
Yeah.
So that itself is a problem. The same thing, the Council of State, which is given power by law to decide on the boundaries of the state or of the counties, and also to settle some issues of the local government when they are beyond the state, is not also reconstituted. So nobody respect, even if they say anything now, one person can pop up and say, I don't know you because you are not. So nobody respect the current members who are in those legislative institutions up to now. So this is a problem by itself. And then
How do we solve this problem, Dr. Okuk?
The parliament should be reconstituted in both houses. That's the only way, so that you bring the legitimacy of questioning those officials who want to do things outside law.
Yeah.
Even the first vice president, Dr. Riek Machar, or Elia Lumoro, or Tutkel, or the governor Ubudog, or deputy governor Tor, they cannot sit in an office and decide without referring to the law. It's illegal. This is what they are doing. So it is only the parliament that can address those things. But where is that parliament? We are asking ourselves. So the solution is that bring that parliament, put it in place. Why are they afraid of those parliament?
We have a situation now at hand. Yeah. Situation at hand in Upper Nile, situation at hand in Northern Barkazala, and situation at hand in Ruweng State. The parliaments have not been reconstituted. So what do we need to do now so that we can stop conflict? This is the concern that our listeners
demand for the reconstitution of the parliament, because you cannot have a peace agreement being implemented without legislature in the place. It's an important element of a government. You have the executive, fine. They have completed the executive. They have shared their power there and everything is fine with them. They have their privileges. They have their V8. They have their whatever. It's fine with them. Where is the parliament? The parliament should get in, and then now we get to the judiciary, because also these are the wings of the government that makes a good model of a state. So I'm not saying we stop at the parliament. Even when the parliament is reconstituted,
okay, let us see.
We should also go to the judiciary. The judiciary should be instituted so that problems are also settled in the law according to a reconstituted judiciary.
Let us receive a call from our listener. Hello, Radio Maraya?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, your question briefly, please.
This is Ned Sadiang.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, my condition in this point is that as the people of South Sudan are just focusing, talking.
Please, can you turn off your radio first?
Okay.
Yeah.
What I can say is that as they talk about the issue of the peace agreement, the agreement focuses on only the boundaries from the British colonies. But if the agreement focuses on the recently settled state, then it could be valid. Now, as for these boundaries from the British colonies, it is just minor thing, like you are talking about the Melakal, the Awil, and some areas. And if it would be this new created state, it would be a quarrel. Now, from some gentlemen there, they don't speak on a public that they should eye on what is going on bad within the public. It's only James Oko, who always analyze, then Wani Michael, then Almoni Akane. Then what will be the way forward as the elders of the country? Meanwhile, they are outside themselves. That is my question.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's receive another call. Hello, Radio Maraya.
Hello, Radio Maraya.
Yeah, your name, please, and where you are calling from. Your question, briefly.
Yeah, you are connected with James Duor from Budele.
James, yes.
Yeah, thank you. I welcome the three guests in the studio, Dr. Alto Ajo, James Okok, and the other guest who is with them in the studio.
Santino.
I would like to have two questions.
Yes.
One goes like this. Since the executive took over the powers from the legislative as well as judiciary, how will the future of the country look like if the executive are the one having more power than legislative? One. Number two, what will be the future of South Sudan when you see people are defending based on their ethnicity than to defend based on nationality? Because if you look now, people are not focusing based on what nationality. Somebody who is a nationalist that focus on how national issues need to be done and handled in an amicable way. What will the future of South Sudan look like? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's receive the third question before we come to answers. Hello? Hello? Okay. Hello, Radio Maraya? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, your name, please, and your question briefly.
Yeah. This is Lual from Gok Machar.
Lual from Gok Machar, yes, I will.
Yeah.
Your question,
my question to Elder Dr. Rajo. Mm. Now, the issue of Northern Barkhazan.
Mm.
What I want to know is the annexation of that area to Awin. Was it a decision taken by governor without concern of the president or the state legislative? Because I heard now there is no state legislative or national legislative.
Okay.
So does it mean executive only carry out the functions without the state or national legislators?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hello, Radim Raya?
Yes. Yes, hello, good morning.
Morning, your name and your question briefly, please.
Yes, my name is Angung Deng. I'm calling from Praya, Northern Barkhazan.
Angung Deng from Praya, yes.
Yeah, I would like to know about the land act of South Sudan. Because in the land act, it must be clear who belong to where and who own the land and... And then if there is dispute, then the land act must clearly, you know, define how to solve that dispute.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's begin with this question, general question to all of you, before we begin with Dr. Elder Joe. A question from Santino Maduda Court on social media. He said, good morning, Yach, and the guests in the studio. The issue of internal borderline is not the big problem now. But the big problem is that our land has been taken away by our neighbors, namely Uganda, DRC, Sudan, and many more. My question is, what could be done to make sure that there is no single land that is taken away by these neighboring countries? Elder Ojo.
Thank you very much. The CPA actually had a protocol, the border protocol, with Sudan. But that protocol, I think, has run into difficulties. It has not been implemented. But the encroachment continued to push towards us, towards the South Sudan.
Right.
As we speak now, you can see the Bentiu area, as you go along, all to even Kurmuk, and all the way to Furanas. The encroachment is very intensive. They are coming there. Same thing also with other countries, specifically Kenya and Uganda. They seem to push to closely come in because we are not even saying what belongs to us. And we are not even addressing this one internationally, even if it means we go to
arbitration,
or a court of international justice. Now we are quiet, and we are so much engaged in our internal affairs, reflecting nothing to the whole world, and we are not talking even to our borders in a way that we content. They are very contentious. We are keeping quiet. So if you get our borders now with to the north, with Sudan, we seem even trying to take the law into our own hands if the government is not serious, because we are being encroached even to for these people to settle with their animals and so on. And the same thing we are doing for ourselves also. This question of Denga cows in Equatoria, we simply ignore it, but I think people of Equatoria are saying that why coming rudely into the land with the cows and you pass them wherever you like and you don't want to be questioned. You see, these are things our government should actually address. This really, it is a real problem. if you go to read, they are talking about it seriously. And it is a problem in our borders with Khartoum. This has to be done.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, when it comes to international boundaries, the comparative practice show that a country that has its own internal turmoil cannot really manage to focus on its international borders. So this is the situation we are. There is no way, you know, people can mobilize and go and defend a border when somebody is grabbing his house behind him. that does not work, actually. He will make sure that his house is secure before he goes
his kids are secure
before he goes to the other place, which is far away. This is the situation we are. We need to put our house in order.
Yeah.
Demarcate our internal boundaries as advised by the expert. We need professional body to be put around, to go around and get back to what was in the past, update the relevance of the present, and now provide a way forward to these boundaries and put this issue to rest. Then from there, actually, this is where people will start to focus on what the foreigners are doing in South Sudan. They say that when brothers are fighting, they don't take care of the enemy who is outside. They will settle their fight first, then the enemy comes next from outside. So South Sudanese are fighting themselves on this internal problem.
Okay.
And that's why we have the Revitalized Peace Agreement. The Revitalized Peace Agreement does not address external issues. Yeah. It addresses our internal issues. If we succeed in this Revitalized Peace Agreement and implement it, and we put our internal house in order, this is where we can go and confront Kenya, because they have encroached, as Uncle Aldo Adjo has said, we will also confront Uganda, we confront
Sudan.
I don't know with Ethiopia whether we have a problem with them so far. There is nothing, but these are the three countries. That we need to focus on. But for now, let's focus on our internal affairs first, and then we cannot. Some politician wants to deviate. Actually, when they see that the internal affairs is becoming so hard, they deviate so that people focus on external things. This is a political Machiavellianism that has been practiced all along. Like what's happening in Sudan now, they have their internal problem, economic problem. They create a clash with Ethiopia so that people get engaged with that. It happened with politicians.
Okay.
So in South Sudan, we will not advise for that. Let's put our house in order and let's not rush to start fighting the outside world when we are not in a good shape. Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Sandino.
Unfortunately, we cannot effectively focus on the issue of borders, as both Dr. Aldo and Dr. James have said, you know, because we do not have a viable state to be able to execute that matter. And so I think it is important for us to focus first on our internal issues, settle that, and then, because we know where our borders are. If someone, some other country has encroached on our borders, there are mechanisms to be able to resolve that. So the question from that individual call, I think is legitimate. But you know, we do not have the army. We do not have, I mean, a strong army. Let's say we have an army, but we don't have
a strong army
to be able to push back those other countries. So I think I wouldn't say much more than what the two have said.
Okay, this question is from Yaj Brigadier. He said, the question to Uncle Aldo Joe, he said, we want to know the border of Awil West County and Awil Town.
Is the same thing as again.
Border of Will County and Will Town.
Yes.
Is actually two chieftaincies on the side of Will. It is Ajwet of Mwinding and Chumel of Kwanyukwaj. Chumel and Ajwet of Mwinding fall into the west.
Wool West.
Mm-hmm. But a part of Winding, which is actually Madinga Wheel itself,
mm.
Akodaru,
mm.
is a part of Arroyo.
Now. Okay. Let us receive another call. Hello, Radio Maria?
We haven't answered the question of land.
We shall come back. Let's receive this call. Hello, Radio Maria?
Hello, Mahab.
Yeah, Sawal Vitak, please.
Sawal Vitak, Anna Franco Sibid, Anna Baram in Jebelum.
Franco Sibid, yes.
Anna Sawal Vitak, Kaladi. Someone under the Narasin Aldo, I do, and who did that? We let El Wehda, my Farim. Well, we let Wehda, my Warab.
Let us receive one question before we come back. We begin with Santino. Hello, Radio Maria. Hello, Radio Maria, your name and your question briefly, please.
Yes, David from Yambi. I'm asking.
Yes. David from Yambi, yeah?
Yes, sir. With the way our politicians are doing things through the window, like what has happened in Upper Nile, which has involved the vice president without the legislature. Can it not create a long-lasting conflict in between our community? Because, you know, we know things like that have to go through the judiciary, and it is endorsed, and all those processes take place.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Santino, we begin a question of land before we come to Ajo and Oko.
The question of land, yes, someone asked earlier on about what the agreement, what the constitution, what the law says about land. So the provisions on land can be found in the constitution, can be found on Land Act as well. So land is divided into two, that is communal land, that is public land, and that is private land. Private land is land that belong to individuals or organization. And then public land is land that is owned by either the state government or the central government. And then communal land, normally in any land that does not belong to the government
or
to individual, it belongs to the community. And almost 90% of our land is communal land. So only specific areas that have been settled on by the state government or the central government are the public, belongs to, like we say, Bilpam. Bilpam is now a central government land because it's the structures there are owned by the, and the land was bought from the community. So that those are the, that is how land has been divided in South Sudan. The law is very clear on that.
Okay.
And so
thank you, Dr. Aldo Joe. Your response to the questions, please.
I think the only problem with the land in terms of development and establishment and awarding ownership is where the problem may be, because the land actually does not the community does not actually push away the government. Something belongs to the public. If they are making roads for the public, schools and health and all that, I think the land is available to people. But on the other hand, it should not be encroached by individuals. This famous land grabbing should actually stop, because the land here should be between the community and the government.
Dr. Joe,
and the government represent the public.
Okay. Dr. Joe, Sandino Togop community, Ukugli earlier on said Togop community. Could it be the reason why the local traditional sheep that are supposed to be apolitical, those who are supposed not to be involved in politics, are being asked to decide on the issue of land and where they should belong to administratively? Take for example, we have talked of sheep that were arrested. They were arrested because of the land. They think is their own land and they belong somewhere. When somebody decides they should belong to somewhere too. So where do they come in here, the traditional sheep?
Of course, the community with the chiefs and everything have a right to defend their own land. Mm. The only thing they should not do is for them to distribute land by chiefs, by giving it to individuals and all that. Mm-hmm. And the understanding they can reach is with the government that is going to do a public thing on
their land.
On a part of their land. And they have no right to give ownership to individuals. That is actually under the government.
Can the traditional chief make a decision on behalf of their community and decide where they should be?
No, in relations with the government.
Administratively, yes.
They can meet. They can meet and they can get a land. That is, we have seen a few days ago with the governor of Wau, the minister of transport, Madhul Biar, went to Wau and wanted to erect this thing that look at the space.
Satellite.
Radar.
Okay. Mm.
Radar. Mm. And people went there and the land was actually all the community plus the governor stood on the area and they had demarcated it and they gave it to the government. That is a good thing.
Okay. The
agreement in Article 4.8.1 talks about the land, but more or less on economic side of the land. And it talked about the Land Act of 2008, that there should be a debate about this Land Act so that it is updated according to what is in the interest of the people of South Sudan as a whole. So apart from that, there was nothing more on that. It takes us back to the local government. It takes us back again to the constitution, whether it is the national or the state level. So this is where the issue of land is. But let me give you the background. Where did we come up?
Yeah, in 2 minutes.
Where did we come up with the issue of the land belong to the community? Actually, during the negotiation in Machakos, 2002, Sudan government came up with a serious claim that they want the land in the agreement to belong to the government. The SPLM under Dr. John Garang came and argued that, you know, what collapsed the 1972 Addis Ababa agreement was the problem of the land. When Nimeiri decided on its own to use the government power to grab large agricultural lands at the border of South Sudan, give it to whoever he wants, without caring about whether the communities are affected or not. The same thing with the digging of the Jungle Canal. They did not care whether this will also disrupt the social activities that were around that Sud region and whether it will have environmental effect on that. They did not care. They wanted just the government to implement its own project of digging the canal so that water can flow in a very faster manner to Egypt and the Egyptian benefit more than us. So this is where they say history has taught us that we cannot rely on a government to take care of our land, because the government can end up in the end of some crooks, and those crooks can use the power of the government to sell the land out to even on their own benefit without the benefit. So the only guarantee is to give the land ownership to the community, because the community will not sell themselves out. That was the background. So that's what remained up to now. And actually this has become a blessing in disguise in South Sudan. Because had we made a mistake by then to say the land belonged to the government, with the type of the politician who are in the government now, we are not sure what would have happened to our land. So this is what
happened. Okay, we have a question here from Samuel Grandut on social media. He said, my question goes to Aldo Ajoh Dengakwe. So what is behind the plan of the governor of Northern Barikazali State, Tonga Ken, to creating municipality that covers the distance of more than 30 kilometers away from municipality headquarters? One question. The second question is, again, why is the governor of Northern Barikazali State the one trying to create a new administrative area to be called a Willtown administrative area when other administrative areas were created by presidential decree last year? And this is also a time to implement RRCs. Aldo.
I think all that the governor is trying to do may be a plan. He has a plan which I cannot identify. But it's not actually processing by procedures that can lead him to a law. There is nothing legal about what he's doing. All of it is something he's saying to happen. It cannot happen that way. These areas he's talking about and the boundary is definitely the boundary of that area where he's a governor, and he cannot create it without process. If he wants, and I don't know why a whole town should actually have its own municipality or a county
administrative area.
I don't know, because other towns are actually under a county. And what is it that is special for a will, as if he's protecting who? Protecting, you know, the whole thing is wrong. And the governor must actually come back to apologize that he is doing wrong.
Dr. Joe, you are an elder, a statement from the same area, a politician representing these constituencies. You have said here many times that this is wrong, this is unconstitutional. What are you doing so that you quell down a problem that is looming in Northern Barikazali because of this issue, decision taken by the state government?
Well, all the information and complaints have reached the government in Juba.
The government is you. You are the government. You are a member of parliament.
You have listened to Cook that the parliament is not actually valid at this stage. No.
Yeah.
Now, I think people like what I'm saying are surprised of what the governor of Barikazali is up to. Is it his own program, or connected with the office of the president? We don't know, and that is
okay.
That question I will take it to the SPLM, because the governor of Wille represents the SPLM.
Okay,
whether the SPLM is aware or is not aware.
Okay, thank you very much. Your last word, Ukuk, please.
It's the same thing of what is happening in Malakal. I think the decision that was made by Dr. Riek Machar and Elia Lomoro and then Tut Keo and the rest should be nullified, and then the whole setup of the city as it was in 2005 should be what is allowed to continue. The headquarter of the municipality and the headquarter of the county, they should remain inside Malakal, and people should be encouraged now to interact and live as they used to be in the past. What I want to say,
the last one,
lastly, is that regarding the issue of the land, we need to recall the past. That's the most important. Let's not forget all the past deal with. Then let's see the present. What is the relevance in the present time? Then now we can envision
the future.
What can happen in the future? But let's take care of the actors, the profile of the actors who are beyond this problem.
Okay.
We need to know them. Who are they and what are they? And then we can recommend them to court cases if things come to the worst.
Thank you. Santino, in 1 minute, please, your last word.
The government exists to solve
problems. Our government exists to sit on problems without resolving them. The issue of land is explosive, and I call upon the president and his deputies to take this issue of border conflict very seriously. First, they should form an institution, as Dr. Aldo said earlier on, as did James O'Cook,
okay,
that we need to resolve this issue. And we have been talking about this issue for so long, and talking without doing anything about it doesn't resolve. So we need an institution, whether it is
technical or government.
Exactly.
Thank
so
you. Thank you. Aldo, your last word in 30 seconds, please. Sorry.
Well, I concur with James and Santino. And that is what should happen, because the conflict on land is going up every time. You can see now, Awuli is talking about the land and expansion of the town. And Awuli has been actually a place very harmonious. Those who have been there, the nationalities, the Denka and the Luo, has been staying in one town without a problem, but it is now being created. So I concur to the fact that there must be a specialized body,
not just
a committee to report, body to really get us the correct internal boundaries.
Exactly.
And thank also you. The land.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you, gentlemen in the studio. We are joined by Aldo Joe, Santino Ayuelongar, and James Ukuk, and you have been listening to Radio Maria Roundtable with me, Yaj Grang. We are looking at the topic, managing internal borders of the 10 states and 3 administrative areas in South Sudan. Stay tuned for the next program.
Table.